I think a lot of brands want to tack on some sort of purpose-driven cause to further really a marketing ploy, I would say. And if you're not really eat, sleeping, and breathing that mission, it really does kind of fall flat. And consumers are very savvy. They know that. And so if you're going to put a cause behind your business, you need to do it from a place of authenticity and not a place of like, this is going to drive sales.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. We are now deep in September. Holiday season is all around us. Conference season is going mad. And it's been almost 3 months since we put live our episode 500. It's also been almost 3 months since we put our massive epic ebook live with those 500 tips for increasing the profit of your e-commerce business. So we had so much. So regular listeners, you will know, I regularly start these episodes by shouting out about someone who said something nice about us on social. There have been too many. Yeah, I think the number we've clocked, we've managed to find, would take us the next couple of years to include if we did one per episode. So just want to say to all of you who have shared on social about our new ebook or about the episode 500, to all of you who sent me lovely messages, all of you who are part of it as well, because many of you were part of it, just want to say a huge thank you from me and the team to every single one of you. We really appreciate everything you've done shouting about us over the summer. And carry on, please, please carry on. And as it's conference season, if you see me at an event over the next few weeks, mainly in London, maybe in some other places, but I think at the moment I'm only in London, do come and say hi, and maybe I'll be shouting out about you in the next episode. Okay, in this episode, we've got a big brand on. My guest was, until about 12 months ago, head of growth at Who Gives a Crap, the big toilet brand. Toilet brand? They don't sell toilets, they sell toilet paper. The big toilet paper brand, saw it through all that pandemic chaos, and she is going to be in a huge, huge growth period. She's going to be sharing her experience from that time, what it took to grow the business in that way. And it's super cool. She gives some really long and in-depth answers. And I made so many notes recording this. It's slightly scary. She also will then be telling us a little bit about what she's up to now, which is about trying to solve some of those content creation challenges for brands. Some really interesting perspectives on that too. And then surprise, surprise, her top tips answers are spot on as well. Prepare when you get to that section. So listen right to the end so you get to that. Prepare to get distracted by the two books she recommends and the two tools she recommends, which I reckon are Facebook ad game changers. You're going to listen to everything else to get to it though. And then she's got a brilliant carbon top tip too. So yeah, brilliant guest, basically. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Make sure you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on any of it. DoFinder's upgraded intelligent product recommendations make it easy to increase your revenue with little effort. The AI-powered system automates cross-selling, ensuring your customers see exactly what they need and what they didn't even know they wanted. It also leverages real-time search data to provide personalized, relevant product suggestions that drive sales and boost average cart values. With a simple setup and continuous optimization, DoFinder's recommendations seamlessly integrate into your site, saving you time and resources. Discover the impact of intelligent recommendations today. Start your free trial at dofinder.com and watch your sales grow. Go to ecmp.info/dofinder. That's ecmp.info/dofinder. ecmp.info/dofinder. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. Featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special guest. Jenna Tannenbaum was head of growth at D2C toilet paper success story Who Gives a Crap for nearly 4 years. And she now runs performance creative and UGC marketing agency Ostrich. Hello, Jenna.
Hello.
It's very cool to have you on the show. As I told you before we hit record, I was like, ooh, Who Gives a Crap? Gonna have to get her on the podcast because that's such, it's like the definitive, or say one of the definitive D2C stories, isn't it? It's like, boom, it must have been amazing to work there. And we'll get into that soon, I am sure. But first off, how did you end up in e-commerce? Because I'm guessing you didn't go from, I don't know, doing a paper round to being head of growth there. So what was your journey into this space?
You know, my journey into e-commerce was very roundabout. I actually started my career out in anti-money laundering. Whoa. If you can believe it, I was a banker and worked with banks and quickly realized that was not for me. And so I think I did what any good millennial in their early 20s did and quit my job and had many different career paths in a very short period of time. So I went from anti-money laundering and then I got into customer support in venture-backed business called Chartbeat, which did real-time data analytics in New York City. So like in the early 2010s, New York City was seeing a lot of venture capital coming in, and I was looking, you know, out of my windowless conference room in the bank and thinking, you know what, this would be more fun to work in a startup. And so I made the leap and started working in a startup. And that was really kind of an eye-opening moment for me when I realized that this was the very kind of start of online marketing and digital marketing. Instagram was just becoming a thing. You couldn't even advertise on it. And so I started in these startups and realizing that the internet and who you are and how you show up online was just as important as how you're showing up in the real world. And so I kind of got this crash course in digital marketing when I entered into the startup scene in New York City. I started my own fitness blog, of course, and then became the first marketing hire at ClassPass. I think there were six of us when I joined ClassPass and ran their organic marketing. So doing their events and really thinking about how can we connect customer loyalty to ClassPass as opposed to like the consumer and the end fitness brand. From there, I actually got into, that's kind of was my first job into marketing and digital marketing. And I thought that was really a very exciting time and looked, you know, I was on a rocket ship at ClassPass. They had later, you know, raised, I think, $100 million and they exited to Mindbody several years later. But I wanted to kind of take more action and actually started my own meal kit company called Green Blender.
I love how varied that route into e-commerce is. And the fact you then ended up creating your own e-commerce brand and a meal kit, just to make it complicated.
Very complicated.
So from there, you ended up at Who Gives a Crap. And
yes,
it must have been such an amazing time to be there. What, now you're kind of like a year on, looking back, what do you think was the key to your success as head of growth and to the things you managed to achieve there from 2019 to 2023?
Yeah, I mean, working at Who Gives a Crap was really, it was really a magical company, honestly. And I think the biggest thing, not to be cliched, but it's really the people you're working with really help make the success happen. And really, Who Gives a Crap was able to scale the mission and who they are as a business into, you know, a much bigger business. And I think that was really the biggest thing that led to the success of Who Gives a Crap?
So we often think that like a cool, sexy new D2C brand is you know, attracting really clever people because they see that opportunity. Then do you think Who Gives a Crap had a level above that because they have that mission piece? And we're kind of one of the first big brands to go out there with that big mission piece. Do you think that had a really big impact in bringing the team together?
Yes, I think so. I mean, really, I mean, for people who don't know, Who Gives a Crap sells good-looking, environmentally friendly toilet paper, paper towels, and tissues. And the biggest thing that they do is that they donate 50% of their profits to help fund sanitation projects all over the world. And so the origin story of Who Gives a Crap is really the main reason they're in business is to further the impact that they're having across the people in the world and the planet. And so they've donated, you know, they put their money where their mouth is. They've donated millions of dollars to fund sanitation projects. Every year, they actually disclose like how much they were able to donate. And, you know, it really helps solidify that. And really, the origin of Who Gives a Crap is rooted in that very thing. And so every meeting that I joined and every conversation that we had across the organization was really about, will this impact our profits? Will this impact our donations at the end of the year? And, you know, between packaging design and marketing spend and product launches, it always came back to, will this impact our donation at the end of the year?
That becomes like the guiding light. Will this increase the amount we can give to the good causes? Literally that simple.
Yeah, it really is. And it's really very authentic. I think the biggest thing and one of the biggest contributors to Who Gives a Crap success is the authenticity. I think a lot of brands want to tack on some sort of purpose-driven cause to further really a marketing ploy, I would say. And if you're not really eat, sleeping, and breathing that mission, it really does kind of fall flat. And consumers are very savvy. They know that. And so if you're going to put a cause behind your business, you need to do it from a place of authenticity and not a place of like, this is going to drive sales.
Yeah, I think for a lot of businesses, it's like, oh, we've signed up to 1% for the planet. And when it comes to doing the accounts at the end of the year, we work it out. But it's a whole other thing to be going in every single decision. Is this impacting how much profit we're going to make and therefore how much we're going to be able to give to those charities? Because I think a lot of brands are this year have been dealing with, oh, all of a sudden it's not growth at any cost, it's profit, profit, profit.
Right.
And I think, you know, whether you're trying to make that shift or you're trying to think of it from the you know, we need to give as much away as possible perspective, which essentially is a profit target, then it's a big difference to the decision-making process. But I just said that we're switching to thinking about profit instead of growth. But of course, Who Gives a Crap saw phenomenal, has, you know, sees phenomenal growth despite giving away half its profits, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So how did you balance your role of going for growth whilst at the same time needing to maximize profit? Because they almost feel like they're going against each other sometimes.
Well, I think that might be like a little bit of a fallacy because, you know, companies, big publicly traded companies, churn off a profit. And like, what do they do with those profits? They either send them back to shareholders in forms of dividends. They give bonuses to their CEOs. They spend that profit in some way. It doesn't necessarily mean they're not successful or people that are going to spend that profit by donating it is hindering the growth, really. It's just part of being in, when I was at Who Gives a Crap, we always said it was just part of having a good business and part of good business. And I think this like capitalist narrative is that if you give your profit away, you therefore cannot be successful or cannot be as big as you want. But profits are just the surplus of the money that you made at the end of the year. Lots of big companies just choose to do things differently with them. I would hope that every company decides to donate 50% of their profits. And I think because we did that, that actually led us to more profits because it translated into really strong customer loyalty. it was an easier sell on the marketing side. So that meant lower cost to acquire a customer. We saw higher repurchase rates, lower churn, and really translated into people wanting to, you know, support and use products that they believed in. And wouldn't it be amazing if every product you bought or you had an option to have the same level of quality that had a better impact on the planet, both in terms of how the product was made and then what the company decided to do with the profits at the end of the year?
Oh, completely. So let's dive into the growth bit and your experience there on that. Was your, slightly cheeky question here, but was your main focus on that retention and loyalty piece, or was it on new customer recruitment, or was it on kind of like the brand side of things?
That's like the $1 million question.
Yeah.
If I had to say, it would be yes, we had to focus on all of that. And I feel like every CEO would be like, yeah, all of that. Yes. But we, you know what, I think number one thing is you have to have a good product. I think that sometimes people in e-commerce, because it's so easy to spin up an e-commerce business, it's fairly simple to create a product and get it online with like not a lot of barriers to entry, that you forget that if you actually don't have a good product, you are not going to get very far. So I think the cornerstone of the success across brand and acquisition and retention is the foundation of having a good product. Second layer is the brand itself. And I think Who Gives a Crap really nailed their brand and understood the consumer and approached, you know, a commodity product, toilet paper, that's kind of boring and a little taboo, in a very fun and exciting way. I mean, even if you look on Instagram, we had so much content that of people just excited to post about their toilet paper delivery, which is like so funny to say, but that really played into the very strong brand that we continue to invest in and push further. And that really helps with the acquisition and the retention side of things. We had a culture of not being, you know, I think there's like four like very important things that as companies get bigger, how can they continue to act small and nimble? And one is that you have to have a strong and clear culture as a business. Really, the business is the people that are in that business. And if you can create a culture that's very clear on what our brand is and what our mission is and who we are as an organization, all of the things, the brand, the acquisition, the retention, falls into place because everyone's thinking about it in a clear way. I think the second thing you have to do is you have to be okay with taking risks. So not everything's going to work out, but something might work out. And if going back to that first point, if you have a clear culture and clear mission, those risks that people are taking might hit more and they'll stay on brand. I think the third thing people have to do is really hire people that push the boundaries and cultivate this sense of moving forward. You know what I mean? So you're not, your brand is could be relevant at one point, but if you don't push it forward and let it evolve with how the environment is changing, your brand's going to turn stale, the acquisition's going to dry out, the retention is going to drop. And then the final thing I think is really important that we did well is really empowering employees to act. And then removing like the bureaucracy of approvals. And that is obviously harder the bigger you get because more eyes are on you. But what are certain things that a brand can do to help remove the barriers and remove that need for control to allow organic, beautiful things to kind of just happen?
I love that answer. So cool. And that would have got everyone thinking so much. So thank you so much for giving us that, Jenna. I want to bring us, I guess, into 2024 now. You've started an agency that's all about creating performance creative and UG marketing. Would it be fair to therefore say that you're seeing one of the biggest areas of challenge and opportunity for the e-commerce marketer being creating the right content?
Yes. Next question. No. I agree. You know, I think one of the things, I've been working in digital marketing for well over 10 years, and the way that digital marketing has changed is really the biggest thing that is happening is that the amount of content and the types of content that you need are just getting faster and faster and faster. Like, I remember a time when you could do one professional photo shoot and have all the assets you needed for the whole quarter, like just planned out. Could you imagine that these days? Now brands need to be thinking about what's on trend, what's happening, how is this going to work on Reels, how is this going to work on TikTok, how should we even be thinking about YouTube Shorts, should we, you know, where are all of these things showing up? And really the main reason why I ended up starting my own agency is because creating user-generated content style ads is very hard, and I think it's actually very hard for brands to produce in-house, specifically because UGC is about kind of listening to what a consumer would say about you versus you as the brand saying about your own products. And so if you're in the house making the UGC, it's very tempting to like lean harder into your brand guidelines, making sure your talking points are like very crisp and fresh or very like on brand. And what ends up happening is then your UGC falls flat because kind of the antithesis of like a branded content is the antithesis of UGC. And so just making sure you're finding, you know, enough creators that are going to show a wide range of use cases with your product, organizing all of that, writing all of the scripts that so that they are going to perform on Facebook or Facebook and TikTok, thinking about how can we make sure that transitions are really tight and interesting, and we're, I call it retention editing. How can we continue to edit these ads in a way that will retain that viewer through the video so that they end up acting? I think all of that kind of stuff is very hard for a brand internally to do because they're also focusing on all of the branded content, their organic social, working with their own consumers, working with, you know, producing more branded ads like for like TV and even YouTube. And something like UGC is just the sheer amount of people that are required to make a wide range of UGC for ads or for brands is just very time intensive and also very hard to produce when you're actually in the brand itself.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
DoFinder's upgraded intelligent product recommendations make it easy to increase your revenue with little effort. The AI-powered system automates cross-selling, ensuring your customers see exactly what they need and what they didn't even know they wanted. It also leverages real-time search data to provide personalized, relevant product suggestions that drive sales and boost average cart values. With a simple setup and continuous optimization, DoFinder's recommendations seamlessly integrate into your site, saving you time and resources. Discover the impact of intelligent recommendations today. Start your free trial at dofinder.com and watch your sales grow. Go to ecmp.info/dofinder. That's ecmp.info/dofinder. ecmp.info/dofinder. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. Featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Jenny, you've given us so much to think about already. Are you ready to give us even more with the top tips?
Yes.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Okay, so I have a dual book to recommendation that I love reading. I've read so many business books, but these two have actually fundamentally changed the way that I do business and just think about my day. So the first book is called Do Nothing by Celeste Headlee. It's really about just like how can you cut through like your busy work and your distractions and get the jobs that you actually need to get done, and so that you can feel like you've accomplished something at the end of the day instead of just drowning in work. The second one is called Stolen Focus, Why You Can't Pay Attention. And this one, I think, is really important, especially for e-commerce owners, business people working in e-commerce and working in digital marketing, just because we are so plugged in to the internet and the distractions. It's very interesting to just like hear about the back end of why we can't pay attention and some ways that we individually can take action and some ways that, you know, big tech needs to be held accountable.
I love those two recommendations. They resonate so much with me right now. And, you know, everyone's going to be listening to this episode towards the end of September as things are starting to get crazy busy. Definitely on the money, I think, there. Thank you so much for those, Jenna. The traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Okay, people are not going to like this because we like quick fixes, but I'm going to have to say word of mouth. And this is kind of what we talked about before. Word of mouth is really the flywheel that all other things sit upon. Because if you have a strong word of mouth, that means that you have a good product market fit, your product is resonating with your customer, and they are liking it so much that they're talking about it. And so if you can focus on, especially in the early days, of improving word of mouth, you know, monitoring that with an NPS, understanding like how can you make your packaging more shareable, that will make your life so much easier across the board. Your email marketing will work better, your paid marketing will work better, your organic, your press, all of that will work better if you really think about and work on word of mouth.
Yeah, it's I always think we ignore it because we can't track it. And it's such a stupid thing to ignore because it is, like you say, it's the flywheel. Once it goes, phenomenal thing to have happening for you.
Right.
Okay, the tool top tip. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Yes, actually another double recommendation. I use two tools daily that I love so much on the social media, paid media side of things. One is Foreplay, which basically allows you to save all of the ads and videos that you like and look for ads and videos outside of TikTok Ads Manager and Facebook Library. I love it. And then the second one is called Motion. And that is basically what Facebook Ads Manager should have built. Honestly. It just like helps you easily see what your top performing ads are. And like the biggest, probably for people who have to put together decks all the time, the best part about Motion is that they basically like really make it very easy for you to export like animated GIFs of the videos that are working well on Facebook to put into your Google presentations. It saves you so much time.
They know their audience, don't they?
They really do. They nailed it.
Very cool. Not heard of those two, so I shall have to go and check them out. But they sound like utter game changers for people working on that. Carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Well, I think like just thinking back at Who Gives a Crap, what worked really well again was just the cult, making sure that if carbon reduction is a priority in your business, talking about it and letting that kind of trickle through your whole organization, because things happen on the margin. If you're empowering everybody to think about how they can reduce their carbon footprint or help the business reduce that, it will go a lot further than doing something, one really big thing. That being said, I can say one really big thing that was like very cool at Who Gives a Crap that we did, which is what we really helped towards the end of my time at Who Gives a Crap, we actually were able to help convert one of our 3PL warehouse partners into solar power. And we spelled the word crap in solar power panels on the top of their warehouse. And I think what was really cool about that was that, you know, Who Gives a Crap became a very large company, and we were able to have a lot of say over, you know, like when we put in a request with our partners, they really listened to what we had to say. And 3PL warehouses, it would be amazing if we could help convert all of the third-party warehouses across the world to have them move into solar. It's very complicated because the landlords of the warehouses are not actually the people usually that are the 3PL warehouses. And then the 3PL warehouses have all the clients that are storing all the products. So there's not like one stakeholder that makes it easy for you to decide like, okay, I want to invest in solar and then I'm going to make that happen, because really the landlord has to do it. And so I think thinking through as an e-commerce brand, which vendors you have a bigger say in, and asking them to do more as well, will help the whole supply chain really become a lot greener.
I love that. Yeah. Help make everybody else help you. And yeah, there are so many acres of roof space that need solar on it, aren't there? It's it's mad. But yeah, like you say, it can be very, very complex. Jen, I knew you were going to give us a good carbon top tip, so I love that one. Thank you. Right, before we say goodbye, of course, you have now created this very cool agency, as you outlined, solving one of the big challenges that all brands have got at the moment. Please tell us a bit more about what you're doing for people at Ostrich and how anyone who would like to find out more and get in touch with you about it can, please.
Of course. So I run Ostrich, and you can find us at runwithostrich.com. And we really make short form video that focuses on performance creative. And so we work with top brands like Nutribullet, Sweetgreen, and the Litter Robot. And we focus on creating ads that deliver on what the business needs and the business goals.
And how can someone get in contact with you if they would like to find out how you can help them?
Yes, you can find us at runwithostrich.com, and you can find me on LinkedIn at Jenna Tannenbaum.
Easy as that, everybody. Off you go. Get in contact. Jenna, thank you so much for being on the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. It has been fascinating chatting with you and a real pleasure to have you on the show. So thanks for coming along.
Thank you so much.
Lots of stuff to get you thinking there. I think that's one of those episodes where rather than going, we did Facebook ads, we did email, we did this, it's the real hub of what you have to get right if you want to see the big growth in a business. You've got to get the team right. You've got to get everyone on the same page, focus on the right numbers, really get everything, all those elements from product, brand, culture, people, all of that lined up, and create a culture where people can take those risks and can push things forward so as you achieve that growth. Really fascinating to learn from Jenna, and I love what she's doing with her new business. Really interested to see where that goes. If you want some more, Jenna, we're pretty certain at the point I say this that she's going to be one of our guests for our Black Friday Top Tips episode on Keep Optimizing, which goes live on Wednesday. So if you're listening to this as it goes out, Get ready for Wednesday's Keep Optimizing. If it's been 3 days since this one was out, you can find that right now on Keep Optimizing. And I'm 99% sure we're going to have a tip from Jenna for that one too. How cool is that? A bit more advice from her. You can get your hands on our notes from this episode, including those brilliant top tips and the links to what we mentioned by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right episode page. You can also find that in the notes on your podcast player for this episode. When you get to the website, please do add yourself to our email list. That way you won't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. And if you like this episode, make sure you check out all our other episodes with big D2C brands. So ecmp.info/D2C to go and get stuck into all of those. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help you to succeed and thrive with your business, including progressing along that all-important path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a brilliant week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
It's time to download our 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook. Go to ecmp.info/ebook now.